make yourselves comfortable. Now, over the summer, three Sundays, when we're looking at who is God, who is Jesus, who is the Holy Spirit, and each one of those are around 15 minutes. So I've either got to pray that God stops the sun and time doesn't move, or the Holy Spirit empowers me. But actually, there is another reason why I believe it is possible, and I'll come to that. And Matt's going to do who is Jesus, and Tim's going to do who's the Holy Spirit. Now, when we talk about God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, they are three distinct people, but they are all one. And I know a lot of people struggle with the Trinity, and I wanted to just do a simple thing that I came across, which involves a knife. I've never used a knife in preaching before. I hope I never have to use anyone again. But who likes apples? Yeah. They're great, aren't they? If you cut an apple in half, don't worry, I'm not going to have a cooking lesson. If I cut myself here now, we'll just have to cut short, okay? And oh, thank you, Jesus. You cut an apple in half. You've got the skin, you've got the flesh, and you've got the seed. But it's all one apple, isn't it? And that's the analogy that this person was showing to children. And you know, when Christ says, be Christ-like, be simple, be as children, this is how it goes. Because he said, the skin is like God the Father. He watches over us, he protects us. The flesh is like Jesus. Jesus became flesh so that he could die for our sins. And the seed is like the Holy Spirit. It grows us, it helps us grow. Each three are distinctive, but just like the apple, they're all one. And then I thought, well, that's why the psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Just don't do it when you're speaking. Because now I realise I can't say anything until I finish this. So, just over these three Sundays, we're going to be looking at God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. There is no other God. There's only one God. And only him alone is able to meet every need and every sin and every circumstance in this world. So how am I going to convey to you who God is in now probably 13 minutes? How am I going to right-size him in the time that we have? In one part, I'm not going to be able to. But in another part, if you know Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you carry the Holy Spirit within you. You carry Jesus Christ within you. So my prayer is that as I speak, the truth that I speak, the Holy Spirit will stir in you the right size of who God is. Now, I don't want you to take notes. I want you to be comfortable. I was thinking how I was going to do this, and then Graham Cook helped me, because it's just a word that I thought, oh, perhaps I could rap this or sing this, but then I thought, no, I want you to remember the good things of that morning. But I do want to soak you in truth. So if you want to go sit on the carpet, if you want to close your eyes, I want you just to soak in what I'm going to say over you. I'm going to say the Bible verses, references, but I've done a sheet with all the verses on, so you don't have to worry about writing them down. So Holy Spirit, I just pray as we take this snippet of time, I pray, Holy Spirit, you will right size who God is in our hearts. I pray that you will help us see him for who he is afresh, that you will stir again who this awesome God is that we come to. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, last week we watched Indescribable, those of us were here, and it just amazes how big our God is. So, are you comfortable? Okay. The spiritual being that the Bible calls God is unique. And the author of all reality as we know it. So any knowledge that we have about him will always be limited and partial, because he is God. A creator by definition is above and beyond that which is created. But here's a wonder. The Bible also describes a God who wants contact with his creation, with you and with me. He wants a genuine relationship and partnership to reveal his divine purpose and plan. And so when God appears to people in the Bible, it is both understandable. People can see, hear, and interact with God as a person. But it also breaks their perception at the same time. Because he's way out of our box, he's way out of our thinking. The fact of God's existence is so clear, both through creation and through man's conscience. It's so clear that the Bible calls the atheist a fool, Psalm 14:1. Accordingly, the Bible never attempts to prove the existence of God. Rather, it assumes his existence from the very beginning, Genesis 1:1. What the Bible does is reveal the nature, the character, and the work of God, telling us what he is like and what he is not like. And without the authority of the Bible, any attempt to explain God's characteristics would be no better than an opinion. To catch in our hearts the truth of what God is like is vital. Failure to do so can cause us to set up, chase after, and worship false gods, contrary to his will. Exodus 20:3-5. Creation, the Bible, and the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, will help us to know what God is like. God is our Creator, and we are a part of his creation. Psalm 24:1. We are created in his image. By considering creation's vastness, complexity, beauty, and order, we can have a sense of the awesomeness of God. The most important element of God's nature is his holiness. Holiness means set apart. And God is clearly separate from his creation based on his nature and his characteristics. Holiness is the foundation of all other aspects of God's character. Revelation 15:4 says of God, "You alone are holy." It is God's holiness that makes him the consuming fire that will judge all sin. And yet God is love. 1 John 4:8. It was in love that God sent his Son into the world, John 3:16. It was in love that Jesus died on the cross for sinners, Romans 5:8. It is in love that he still calls sinners to repentance, to experience the grace of God, and to be called children of God. 1 John 3:1. Love is more than a characteristic of God. He is literally the essence of love to his core. God's love is eternal because he is unchangeable. His love is perfect and holy. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He is Almighty. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. Revelation 1:8. He is eternally self-existent. Psalm 92. Meaning he has no beginning and existence will never end. There is no time frame that you can put God into. He exists above and beyond all of creation. Psalm 97:9. He is immortal and infinite. 1 Timothy 1:17. God is incomparable. There is no one like him in works or being. He is unequaled and he is perfect. 2 Samuel 7:22. God is unreadable, unfathomable, unsearchable, and past finding out as far as understanding him completely. Isaiah 40:28. The same God who made all things also controls those things. Excuse me. He is sovereign. Isaiah 46:10. He is judged by no one and has absolute authority over the entire universe and everything in it. His sovereignty is expressed in many ways, including his supremacy. He who creates an item owns it and has power to utilize it as he sees fit. God says in Isaiah 44:24, I am the Lord who made all things. I alone stretched out the heavens. Who was with me when I made the earth? God is an eternal spirit. John 4:24. He is unchanging. Malachi 3:6. Meaning that God is absolutely reliable and trustworthy. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? God is all-knowing, 1 John 3:20. He knows everything, from eternity past to eternity future. Everything we think, everything we do, everything we say, he knows. He has personal knowledge of every single person on this planet who has ever lived and will live. He knows them intimately in every way. He knows what they are thinking at any given moment. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that slightly worrying? But he's a good God. Since he knows everything, his justice will always be administered fairly. Proverbs 5:21. And not only has he known us while we've lived on this earth, but Jeremiah 1:5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. He is present everywhere. Jeremiah 23:23. God is all-powerful and can do anything that he pleases, but his actions will always be in accord with the rest of his character. Jeremiah 32:17. He is just, yet he is no respecter of persons in the sense of showing favoritism. Deuteronomy 32:4. And he will justly judge all sin and unrighteousness. Jude 15. He is compassionate. Matthew 14:14. And he is forgiving. Matthew 9:1-8. All of his ways are right. Psalm 145:17. And whatever mankind believes, God's ways to be fair is irrelevant. And whether mankind believes God's ways is to be fair is irrelevant. God is not constrained by time or place. Who needs to know that this morning? He has a plan. He has had it from eternity past, and his purpose will be accomplished. God's nature is that he is unchangeable, being the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8. Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. James 1:17. We cannot and we must not overlook God's wrath based on his holiness. He has a righteous anger against sin. Psalm 7:11. And because of God's impending judgment, mankind needs the gospel message of grace and salvation. Because God seeks to save the lost. Luke 19:10. He alone is worthy of our worship and our devotion. He is righteous, meaning that he cannot and will not pass over wrongdoing. But it is because of God's righteousness and justice that we can say that we are free from our sins and that we have been forgiven. Jesus had to experience the wrath of God when our sins were placed upon him. Romans 3:21-26. It's why we live in the freedom of Christ today. So who is God? He is an infinite being. None of us can fully answer this God-sized question. But through his word, we can understand much about who and what he is like. And we can know what he's like because we carry Jesus inside of us. Romans 8:10-11. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. So may we daily, may we wholeheartedly continue to seek him. Because Jeremiah 29:13 tells us, and encourages us, when God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So Holy Spirit, I ask you, will you make us God chasers? I thank you, Jesus, that you live in us. I thank you that you have changed lives in this room. Father, may our hearts, not just in the summer, but in our lives, be hearts that chase you, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, through your word, through your spirit, that you will show us and reveal more of yourself to us, that we might mature, that we might grow, that we might come into all that you have for us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And I just want to finish with a bit of a God story. It's not my God story, but it will hopefully encourage you. Because you carry Jesus. And when you go, Jesus goes. And there was a number of us at a conference this last week. And there was two main buildings. And in the middle of these buildings were food outlets where you could buy food. And I think it was the last night they shared that one of the guys, because they weren't Christian outlets, one of the guys asked what was going on. And it was explained to him it was a Christian conference and what was going on. And he said, how do you find this Jesus? And he was led to the Lord then and there. And what they were encouraging us with was, nobody had really spoken to about that. He was in the presence of God, and he wanted to know what was going on. He wanted to know why all these people were here, why this was happening, why that. But it was God that led him to the Lord. And you know, sometimes it's not what we say, it's who we are. And you carry Jesus. So you know who God is. Yeah, we have to apply that in our lives sometimes, and we have to have one another to help us apply that. But we carry Jesus. So inactivate this week, the presence of Jesus will be there. And it might not be what you say. It might be the smallest thing you do that will make someone ask, what's going on? And when you explain, they'll say, who is this Jesus? And they use the analogy, you know, Jesus said to them, disciples, put the nets down and haul in the catch. The catch was jumping into the boat. They were asking, what's going on here? Who's this Jesus? That's my prayer in Activate and in our lives and in this center and in what God has called us to do. That we will carry the presence of God in a way that people ask, you're different. What is it about you? And then we'll be able to say, it's all because of Jesus. And they'll say, who's this Jesus? Amen.